Brothers and sisters, I greet you all in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ that we celebrated yesterday will be an even greater blessing and a tangible blessing to you, for your family, and for you in everything that you are involved in. Amen. I'm privileged to stand here to deliver the last Sunday sermon of this year. And I know that it is a grace from God, and I believe the Lord has a word for you and me. Today I want to invite you to open your Bible in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16. And I'm going to do the reading from verse 1 down to verse 15. Exodus 16, 1 through 15. Then the entire Israelite community departed from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had left the land of Egypt, the entire The Israelites said to them, "If only we are died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pot of meat and ate all the bread we wanted. Instead, you brought us into this wilderness to make this world heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. This way I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, when they prepare for what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather. It was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the Lord's that you complain about us." Moses continued, "The Lord will give you meat to eat this evening and abundant bread in the morning. For he has heard the complaints that you are raising against him. Who are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints.'" As Aaron was speaking to the Israelite community, they turned toward the wilderness, and there a cloud of the Lord's glory appeared. The Lord spoke to Moses, "I've heard the complaints of the Israel. Tell them at the twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will eat bread until you are full. Then you will know that I'm the Lord your God." So at evening, quail came and covered the camp. In the morning, there was a layer of dew all around the camp. When the layer of dew evaporated, there was on the desert surface were fine flakes as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they asked one another, "What is this?" Because they didn't know what it was. Moses told them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The title of the sermon is Thank You, Lord, for Manna. Thank you, Lord, for manna. This is the story of the people of Israel after being delivered from the land of Egypt, where they had been slaves for over 400 years. The Lord has delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, and he began to lead them into the wilderness, to the promised land. After 1 month and a half, a new challenge comes. After they had lacked water before, in the weeks before, and the Lord had provided them for water, now comes the issue of food. They are out of food. And they cry to Moses, "We are going to die. Was it not enough to leave us in Egypt and to lead us into this wilderness? Is the Lord's plan to let us perish in this wilderness?" They complain to Moses, and Moses cry out to the Lord, and the Lord answers. The Lord answers, and the Lord rains bread from heaven. The Israelites see this food that they have never seen before, and they wonder, what is this? And they call it manna. But this food that the Israelites receive from heaven is a particular food. It's special. It's not like what they had used to eat in Egypt. First of all, this food, though it is the provision from God, because it was not the result of their labor, they did not work for it. It was given by God himself from heaven. But this food comes with problems. It comes to meet a need, but it also comes with another problem. The first problem of this food is that it cannot be stored, it cannot be kept, it cannot be preserved. They had to eat day after day. They had to collect it and eat for that day. For the following day, they had to wait again until the morning and come and collect again. So they cannot make stores of this food. That's the first problem. The second problem with this food is that it doesn't give the Israelites options. They had to eat that same food every day for 40 good years. And in Numbers chapter 11, we can read the response of the Israelites for this God. Of number 11, the Israelites said, from verse 4, they say, "Who will give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. There is nothing at all except this manna to look at." This is the response of the Israelites. Yes, we have received this food from heaven. We are not we will no longer go to bed hungry. Yes. But it's just too much of it. There is no possibility of choosing the same thing. And they even remember the options they had in Egypt. They forget that they eat the food they used to eat in Egypt. It was after being flocked. No, they forget. They just remember the tastes of the food in Egypt. And they are fed up. They ask for flesh and fish and onions. Brothers and sisters, we are at the end of this year, and I don't know how this year has been for you. I don't know if all the prayers you made in the month of January have been fulfilled, have been answered. I don't know if you have received everything that you desired, everything that you hoped for. I don't know if your appetite, if you still have appetite, I don't know if your appetite has been fulfilled. I don't know if what God has given you throughout this year is satisfying to your heart, to your plans, to your hope, to your desires. And this morning, I want to invite you to think about what you have not received. What you feel you still lack. What you wish you could have on top of what God has given you. I want you to think about it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the quality of the food you have been putting on your table. Maybe it's the where your career is at. Maybe it's where your relationship is at. Whatever it is, what you could have desired to see by the end of this year. And some of us, when they look at what God has been giving them, it looks like manna. Yes, I have received something from God, but it's not really fully satisfying. Is it what you are feeling right now? Manna is God's grace for you. It is not perhaps what you dreamt of, but it is God's grace for you. It is what you did not work for, but God gave it to you. It is not what you dreamt of, but God has given it to you. It is God's answer to your complaint, your fears of dying. You see, you've not died. You're still alive. And if you're alive, it is because of his manna. Yes, God has not answered all your prayers. You have not seen the onion. You have not seen butter in your bread. You have not been able to put sugar in your tea. You've not been able to add meat on your vegetables. But God has kept you. so far? Has God disappointed? Maybe you feel God has disappointed somewhere or somehow. You are still thirsty. You're still hungry. You say, yes, thank Jesus, thank God, but I wish I could have more. But why? Why God gave you just manna and not more? First of all, I want to invite you to remember that God is not incapable of giving you everything you desire. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 7, the Bible says, "Ah, Lord God, look, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power, and by your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." There is nothing too hard for God. God is able to give you beyond what you are dreaming. God is able to impress the people you want to impress. God is able to give you more than what you can ever imagine. It is not the problem of God's capacity. God has just decided to give you that manna. It is His grace not to meet all your desires. It is the grace that proves that He has not abandoned you. I still have you in my hand. I've not forsaken you. As I promised, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you. Manna is the evidence that I'm still with you. Manna is what you need. And the purpose of manna is not to give you total comfort. No, that is not. God never said that I will meet all your desires and you will feel so comfortable that you will not need anything else. No, God didn't say that. But He committed to give you what you need. What you need, not to meet what you desire, but what you need to live for Him. And every one of us has received what he or she needs to live for God. God has made sure you have received what you need to live for Him this year. Has someone lacked anything that he would have needed to live for God this year? Raise your hand. Have you not received something that you would have needed to live, to witness for God? You see, we might not have received everything we wanted, but we have received everything we needed to live for Him. Because you see, God has not taken us from the world to live for ourselves. He has taken us out of the world to live for Him. The life we have in Jesus is not the continuation of the life we had in the world. The life we have in Jesus is not an improvement of the life we had in the world. The life we have in Jesus is a new life. It's a life that we live for the one who has delivered us. We have said, Lord, we do not want to live for ourselves anymore. From now on, we will only look at you. We will follow you. Wherever you lead, we will go. And God has made sure that you have what you need to sustain you in the journey. And for that reason, for that we have a reason to say, Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, we have a reason to say, Lord, thank you. Why does God give manna? Why has he given manna? I'm going to give you two reasons. First, God has given us manna to teach us to depend on him. To teach us to depend on him. Jesus said in John 15 verse 5, the last part of that verse, he said, without me, you can do. Hallelujah. Without me, you can do. And everything you do without me is nothing. Hallelujah. Without me, you can do. But what you do without me is nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Hallelujah. God has given us manna. You can't keep it for the following day. You have to come back in his presence to wait again for the provision of the day. Hallelujah. So you will learn to depend on him. There is no better place for you and I to be if it's not in the zone of dependence to God. That is the only place your faith can grow. Your faith will never grow in the place of independence from God. Your faith will grow in the place of dependence where you are vulnerable, when you are not certain of tomorrow, when you are not sure of the next day. That's where your faith grows. The second reason God has given manna is to help you and me become more sensitive to our spiritual needs. How many of us, when we pray, as we plan for the next year, how many of us are praying for their spiritual needs? How many of us? Most of the times, we are not sensitive to our spiritual needs. And that's one of the reasons God decides to give us a bit less than what we would have wanted to receive. It's to help our spirit grow while our flesh is sustained. Hallelujah. And for that, we have a reason to say, Lord, I thank you. Because you care for my spirit, for my soul. But you also care for my body. Hallelujah. I want to invite you to stand up and say, Lord, I thank you for manna. I don't know what is the form of manna in your life. I just want you to say, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? You have been faithful to us. You have been faithful to your word. You have not disappointed. As you said in your word, you are not a debtor of anybody because you are ever faithful. We look back at this year and we can see your favor. We can see what you have given us, what we have received, which is not the fruit of our pain, of our labor. It's of the fruit of your grace. We thank you because even if all our desires are not met, our destination is greater, more glorious than our position. And you are with us. You have not forsaken us. And you will be with us. And we will continue to see your hand in our heart, in our life. But for today, we want to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for health. Thank you for what you have put on our table. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunities you have given us to witness for you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We want to thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.